Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get this going. Back in the H, happy to be home after heading to Toronto for the MLS game of the week against New York City FC. TFC winning that one 4-0. It's big up there. It is a different feel in some of the markets in Major League Soccer. It is a big affair. And a big feel for football in Toronto. We'll talk about that tonight. We've got Neymar to PSG. A couple of thoughts on that one. Hope we get yours as well tonight. International Champions Cup. What is its effect on football here in the U.S.? And maybe what is its effect on Major League Soccer? U.S. Gold Cup win. What did you think about it? Jonathan Dos Santos choosing Major League Soccer over Liga MX? Say it ain't so. How do you feel about that? Hands off Coutinho, says Liverpool. What's on your soccer mind tonight? Because soccer matters. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Fresh off the heels of the Blitz. And fresh off Fred Fowler and Jerome Solomon in for A.J. Hoffman. Where is A.J.? He's up in the Pacific Northwest, I think.
Correct.
Yeah, what's he doing? Mountain climbing, rappelling, spelunking.
I think a lot of beer drinking, too.
Craft beering. You know, that's AJ. Probably did a little MMA in the mountains against a guy. I don't know. Streaming at ESPN975.com. That voice you just heard there was producer Tyler Scott, as usual, commanding this ship behind the glass. So here's what we got tonight. 7:30, we're going to talk to Memo Rodriguez. Of the Houston Dynamo, is an up-and-comer right now, a young player that has been given real trust and opportunity from the head coach, Wilmer Cabrera. So Memo's going to come on the show. He's a great story. After that, Dynamo fans, the one we let get away, Craig Weibel, who is now the general manager of Real Salt Lake. If you think this is the Real Salt Lake of the 5-1 beatdown the Dynamo gave them a while back, you got another thing coming. This team is on a roll now. They're unbeaten in 4. Things are starting to crystallize for the manager, Mike Petke. And this is going to be a very difficult game in Sandy, Utah, just outside of downtown Salt Lake City. So it's going to be big for the Dynamo on the road now. They got 6 more road games, including this one Saturday night. You can catch it on the Cube with Eddie Robinson and I on the call. This is a big game, and I'll tell you why it's a big game. It's not only big for the Dynamo, it's big for RSL. The logjam in the West is so tight. The Dynamo could go to the top of the West. They can also, in real quick fashion, get in real trouble and get down near that sixth place playoff line. So there is a ton going on. Again, we can start it off with Neymar tonight. It's broken up. It ain't happening anymore. Messi, Suarez, Neymar, the MSN is done. And I want to get your thoughts on it tonight. We'll also talk about the Dynamo-Portland game. What was your takeaway on that? Dynamo deserve a draw on that one? Yes, they had battling spirit. And what's going on with Kubo Torres and Ramel Kyoto especially? Wilmer Cabrera's got to bring those guys back because you're not going anywhere without those two. You got to have them. You are a different team without the pace of Elise Kyoto. Eric Torres scoring goals. MLS All-Star game tonight. We got so much to talk about. You tell me. Jonathan Dos Santos to the LA Galaxy, spurning Club America in Mexico and Liga MX. What does that tell you, if anything? Or is it just about brotherly love? I want to go play with my brother Gio. 713-780-3776. All right, we're going to start it off with Eddie tonight, who wants to talk Neymar. Eddie, what's up?
Hey, Glenn, how's it going?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you? Looking forward to some good radio tonight.
Good, good. Yeah, I was looking forward to hearing what went down with the whole Neymar situation, because we just came back from Miami. We went to go see a Clásico, and you could tell when we were there, you could tell that he was kind of distant from the team. They were training, and he did his own thing. You could tell whenever they had the meet and greet at the Bayfront Park, Suarez, Messi, and Iniesta were there, and Neymar did his own thing. He went, did the Nike store appearance. So you kind of had a feel for Neymar leaving. But I think that it was time for him to go, because on the PSG victory on the comeback, he set up the PK in the third goal. He scored the free kick on the fourth.
Yep.
He took the penalty on the fifth, and he gave the game-winning assist on the sixth goal to come back. And at the end of the game, the only thing people worried about was Messi with that picture. So I think that it was time for him to leave.
Well, listen, he was – that day, he proved something to me. I mean, he took that game by the scruff of the neck, and he brought them back. I don't think there's any question. But listen, why should anybody be upset at Neymar? I mean, why can't Neymar choose that he wants to be the guy somewhere? Why can't Neymar take the opportunity to go somewhere? I don't fault the guy at all. Look, he had great times. He was an integral part of that three-pronged attack. He, like the other two guys, were able to keep their egos in check. It was a wonderful thing. And maybe he wakes up one day and he says, look, I want to be the guy. I want to make a lot of money. And I want to go try and do it with PSG. And if we have success in the Champions League, which is really what this is all about for PSG, is Champions League, I have the opportunity to carry the team and take it there. Now, let's see what happens. But why? I don't know why people are hating on Neymar for taking this opportunity. I mean, he's positioned himself to earn this opportunity to go where he's going. There's things I like about him. There's things I don't. He definitely needs to stop hanging out with Justin Bieber. Because if he keeps hanging out with Bieber, believe me, PSG's not going anywhere. The guy's got to get a grip. Get away from Bieber, okay? But nobody should fault him for taking the opportunity and wanting to get out of the shadow of Messi, because it's really Messi, and it's Messi in Barcelona, and to go take this opportunity. Why not? And I want to see how he handles it. I want to see if he becomes this ultimate leader like he did in that game you so well mentioned against PSG.
Exactly. I definitely agree, Glenn. I think it's a great opportunity for him to prove for himself. And PSG, they were just one hump away from advancing. So I think incorporating Neymar would pretty much help him get over that hump and start fighting for those semis and maybe even a Champions League final.
Yeah, he's
so it'll be really exciting to see what he has to bring in. He has Di Maria, Cavani, so he'll have a good team that he could do some work with.
Yeah, and you know what? They're going to tear it up in the French League One. We know that. It's going to really be about them and Monaco, and then it's going to be about what happens in the Champions League. And you just mentioned some big names. But I'll tell you what, that insight you just brought us, and I think we all did know about the fact that he walked out of a practice after a little bust-up with one of his teammates. But those other things that you brought in, not showing up at appearances, those are all telltale signs. And I appreciate you bringing those into it, Eddie. And I know the Clásico was something special down there. Must have been a great experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was something incredible at the half. It was 2-2. It was a back-and-forth match. Like, you know, I'm a Madrid fan, and despite the result, we had a great time, and it was a amazing thing to watch. Neymar, he tore the left side, so we're kind of glad that he's not with Barcelona anymore, but it was really fun to watch him play there.
Yeah, you see, you Madristas are very happy he's moving to another league, aren't you?
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun, especially since he left right before the Super Cup.
Well, you know what? So, here's the other thing. French football and the French League One absolutely love this because there's going to be a lot more eyeballs on their league simply because of Neymar. And I'll make a comparison. It's not necessarily a straight comparison, but when David Beckham came to Major League Soccer and everybody wanted to take their pot shots at it, what they forgot was that that guy was bringing the eyeballs of the world on this league. So he's going to bring the eyeballs to the French League One, and that's a good thing if you are involved with French football.
Oh, definitely. I could see that a lot of people are going to be tuning in more into the French League.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I'm going to.
It's going to help them out a lot.
When Neymar plays, I'm watching.
I'll be doing the same thing, Glenn.
All right, Eddie. Great call. Thank you for kicking it off in big style tonight.
Sounds good. Have a great one, Glenn.
All right, you too. Good stuff from Eddie there. So he was actually down at the Clásico. Was anybody else down at the Clásico? Anybody got any thoughts on the Manchester United City match here? Manchester United today beat Sampdoria 2-1. Mkhitaryan got the goal scoring started in that one. Matic played, which could potentially move higher up the field. Paul Pogba. So some interesting things going on. The Matic signing, I think, could end up being a real, real barn buster for Jose Mourinho. Mourinho. You know, I'm just kidding, United fans. I know you got to put up with them, though. That's the thing about United fans. They have to put up with Jose. And they have to pretend like they like him and his football. But maybe this is a move to getting it back to where it belongs. And by the way, there's two clubs in a different stratosphere in this world. And unfortunately, right now, it's not United when it comes to winning things. It's the two Spanish teams. Nobody can contend with Real Madrid and Barcelona right now. They own it. You got to accept that. They own it. 713-780-3776. Chris, what's on your mind tonight, Chris?
Hey, I originally called to ask about the impact of financial fair play in the Neymar move, considering that PSG has just dropped more than double the record transfer number on Neymar. I mean, that to me, if there's supposed to be financial fair play, is this not it? I mean, do they have to sell half their team now? Or what do you think on that?
I don't know enough. And there's mechanisms, I think, that sometimes occurs when these types of things are done. I haven't looked into that that much. The money, though, to me, which we didn't cover in that last phone call with Eddie, the money's obscene. I mean, honestly, it is obscene. And you begin to go, you know, these billionaires using this as a plaything. And I don't know. I mean, show me how that money's going to be made back. I'm sure it can potentially be made back if they do well in the Champions League, jersey sales. There's a lot of other things that come into this, TV rights for his games, whatever. And I would love to be in the room when they put the balance sheet together to go, okay, well, here's how we're going to make our money back on Neymar. Let's see, was it 250 million pounds?
I think it was 220 euro, whatever that is. I don't know.
So that's equivalent to, I don't know, well over 300 million, right?
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
Does it even matter if it's...
If they have financial fair play, then if this doesn't breach it, then what does, you know?
There's always people looking for ways to breach, you know, these things. And I don't know. It is pretty insane. It's numbers that I don't have any idea. It's just, it's out of the stratosphere. I just look at it more from a football playing perspective and what he wants to do, get out of the shadows of Messi and Suarez, and who can blame him? I mean, why? I don't think we should be hating on Neymar. I know you're not, but I'm just saying, you know, you see a lot of people out there, oh, he's wimping out because he's leaving Barca. Why would you leave Barca? Well, there's a lot of legitimate reasons why he would leave Barca. And they may not be the one, you know, it's only down to him. It's not down to anybody else. And when, why wouldn't he want at this point of his career to be a guy built around? It's never going to happen at Barcelona for him.
Well, I disagree. And cards on the table, I'm a hardcore Barcelona fan. I think Messi's going to spend the next couple of years, and then he's the guy for the next 8 or 9. But, oh, well, he's gone. It happens. Not that often, and certainly not for these numbers. But you mentioned, you know, the what's in it for PSG and the TV ratings. Well, the owner of PSG also runs BN Sport, which already has the League One, which are, I mean, are they really going to reap that much of a benefit from this from a financial standpoint? I just don't see it, because who's going to play against PSG? The reason I don't watch League One is they play Monaco good. They play Lyon maybe. But other than that,
yeah, I disagree. There are going to be people who simply watch for him. People watch for individuals. They're not going to care who the opponent is. They're not going to care that it's competitive. They want to watch it for Neymar. And that's a reminder to all of us that stars do matter in the world game. I don't think there's any question. And look, as Eddie just mentioned, Neymar was the guy who brought them back against PSG. And there was something that day I saw from him as a leader and as a guy who took Barcelona on his back to bring him back in that game. And it's not one game that makes a man, but that game said something to me. So maybe he wants to step to the center stage and be the leader and play how he wants to and have others adapt to him as opposed to him adapting to the likes of Neymar and Suarez. PSG,
PSG
can begin. Well, why not? He's got quality players there. They can bring players in around him.
Well, the reason I ask is the league between them and Monaco is basically every year. That's it. And Monaco is about to be is already selling off everybody. So they're going to win the league. They're going to win the League Cup, which nobody even knows the name of. It's Champions League or bust now. Where if he doesn't win the Champions League now, it's all on him. And
well, that's why he's being. Yeah, that's why he's being bought there, is to win the Champions League. That doesn't mean people aren't going to be interested in watching him play French League One teams that nobody really knows. They want to see that guy perform his magic, his tricks, taking people on, hitting free kicks, bringing the unexpected. This is what Neymar is. This is why he's a star. He's not flawless, but he's pretty damn close to being flawless with the ball at his feet. I can tell you that. And the other thing is he's recasting himself in a different way. He's positioning himself in a different way. And you know what? There's an awful lot of leagues outside of the Premier League that are two and three horse type of leagues. And people seem to still come out and watch Messi and Suarez and Cristiano Ronaldo, even when they're not playing Barcelona or Atletico Madrid. I don't think there's any question. So, it's good for French football, I can tell you that. It's going to bring eyeballs. Listen, Chris, I got to roll. I got to get to break. I thank you for the phone call tonight and your thoughts.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, Wayne.
All right, good stuff from Eddie and Chris. You guys kicked it off big. 713-780-3776. Moment here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. Car accident. Motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. John Daspit's the man for you. DaspitLaw.com. They're going to work 24/7 nights and weekends. 713-322-HURT. And they are bilingual. You want an Irish pub with that Irish feel? Gorgeous Gale, place for you. Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive. Get over there. Say hello to Peter. It's where the Liverpool Supporters Club hangs out. They're holding nightly meetings over there saying nobody is taking Coutinho. Stop by for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offering. Again, say hello to Peter. Great open field, lots of monitors, outdoor patios, gorgeousgale.com, and we will take a Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Wenger past Roy Miller. Wenger crossing. Good ball. Back post. Huge touch from Gleason. Minutes has equalized. Gleason did his best, but couldn't push it far enough. And after a hat trick a year ago.
He's had a consistent year, Mauro Manotas. Now has 7 goals. He's had one of the most consistent seasons out of any Dynamo player, I would say. Juan David Cabezas emerging in that last game. Memo Rodriguez easing himself into the picture now and getting trust from the coach. He'll be on the show here shortly. 713-780-3776. We're talking Neymar here tonight and his move to PSG. And by the way, don't forget to look at it the other way. Barcelona could come out of this potentially even stronger. Oh, you're sitting there going, Glenn, what are you talking about? It's Neymar. Look, those guys liked each other. They got along. That was pretty incredible how Neymar, Messi, and Suarez all got along. But make no mistake, that is Messi's team. It will always be Messi's team as long as he's there. There's no questioning that. So why all the hate on Neymar? 713-780-3776. Why can't the guy go out and go out on his own after doing it with MSN? Messi, Suarez, and Neymar. It's broken up. It's done. 713-780-3776. Major League Soccer All-Star Game. Do you give a damn? 713-780-3776. It's on tonight. FS1. In fact, it'll begin at 7:30. Do you like the Major League Soccer All-Star thing? Back in my day when there was professional soccer in the 80s, there was no All-Star Game. Probably because of budgetary reasons. But now it's a spectacle. A lot of people enjoy it. Do you care about it? I know the coaches don't like it because they don't want their players there. But tell you what, players are having a good time. Bastian Schweinsteiger, when he came here with Bayern Munich in that infamous game where Pep Guardiola wouldn't shake the hand of Caleb Porter because somebody got kicked, one of his players, I don't remember who it was. It might have been Toni Kroos, I'm not sure, or Thomas Muller. But Schweinsteiger, who didn't play that night, watched that and said, man, the passion here in the United States is unbelievable. Now, there's another reason why the All-Star game is important. When Real Madrid comes over, all those players see what's going on here in the States. Might be a place they might want to come one day. It's a spectacle. It's a showcase. It's not necessarily Harlem Globetrotters against the Generals. It will be competitive to a degree because Real Madrid is not going to want to get embarrassed like Chelsea did against the second team of the New York Red Bulls a couple years ago. And MLS doesn't want to get embarrassed either. Manchester United played Manchester City here. That was a pretty competitive friendly. Now, leads me to this. Do you like All-Star games? And the International Champions Cup. I love it. But there's some in MLS who are very much against it because they think it's positioned up against their product could be harmful. Well, I got news for you. You will not stop the ICC. And you will not stop teams like Manchester United, Real Madrid, Barcelona coming to the United States to play friendlies. It's not going to happen. There's too much money being made. And why not give people in the United States an opportunity to see one of their favorite teams that play in Europe? What's wrong with that? 713-780-3776. Is that harmful for Major League Soccer? Now, what would be the takeaway for the Houston Dynamo here locally when Manchester United and Manchester City played here? Does that do anything to move the needle with MLS or the Dynamo locally? You tell me. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Jonathan Dos Santos, Liga MX fans seem to be very upset about this. Maybe Club America fans. Dos Santos chooses the LA Galaxy to go play with his brother Gio over Liga MX and Club America. Now you have people going, well, that proves that MLS is better than the Mexican League. And I'm kind of shaking my head because they're two very distinctively different leagues, run in very, very different ways, stylistically very different, although it is so refreshing in MLS now to see teams like Patrick Vieira's New York City FC or Greg Vanney with Toronto FC. Oh, but Glenn, they got all the money. They're the big money spenders. Yeah, they are. They're number one and two in spending money. In fact, Jovinko costs, his salary alone is more than 10 teams in Major League Soccer, including the Houston Dynamo. Thank God for Toronto FC and Atlanta and New York City FC for raising the bar. Don't you want the bar raised? Or do we just want a league with, you know, 20-plus hardworking teams? You got to have stars. You got to have people that pick a ball up and beat people. You got to have people that bring you to a stadium because of possibility, of seeing something you might not have seen before. And we've got more and more of those in MLS. And they're not just the big names either. Might be a Sebastian Blanco or Diego Valeri in Portland. It might be a Tomas Martinez here. It is an Albert Elise here in Houston. When are we going to promote this guy? Maybe we're not promoting him because he may not be around next year. Maybe that's the deal. 713-780-3776. By the way, the Dynamo, Philip Senderos has been training with the Houston Dynamo. People are asking me, is this for real? Is this serious? You'd bet it is. I'm not bringing him here to let him train for free. He's here because they're considering him as a player. They're considering Senderos, the former Arsenal man, to be an addition. Don't think I'm crazy. That's fact. He's here to be looked at as a player that could be signed by the Dynamo. And don't be surprised if Senderos is signed by the Dynamo. So then all you Arsenal fans can go crazy, right? Did you like him when he was at Arsenal? 713-780-3776. Let's go to the phone lines and Christian. Christian, what's up?
Hi. Hi, I'm listening to the show. You were talking about having European teams play in the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, the frustration with that, I just don't understand. I think anything that's good for soccer in the U.S. is good for the MLS. You know, for the first time with the excitement around the U.S. men's national team, you know, the way Christian Pulisic is playing, I'm following the MLS for the first time because I'm seeing, you know, like maybe guys in the future that could come up and be contributors. I think having European teams play here is great.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with the same attitude as you. You know, my attitude's the same as yours, and I appreciate that phone call. So, you know, there's what's good for soccer is good for everybody else. Now, the question is, you know, other than MLS teams playing, like Real Salt Lake played Manchester United, the Los Angeles Galaxy, they played. Who did they play? Real Madrid, I think. They play Real Madrid or Manchester United. I think Manchester United. I'm confused because I've called so many of these games over the years. I mean, you get a tie-in with it. It's one of those things you can't turn down. If Manchester United said, we want to play the Dynamo in Houston, you can't turn that down. It's kind of like David Moyes being offered the job after Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United. You can't turn it down. You can't. Because you'll always wonder what could have been. The question is what is the trickle down to Major League Soccer when these teams are here? That's really what the big question is, and we're gonna explore that tonight quite a bit. Second hour we'll have Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations, Eddie Robinson, my partner on Cube on the show. So ICC U.S. Gold Cup win. What did you think of that? Been pretty interesting. We've heard that Tomas Martinez has been hanging around a lot of practice with Vicente Sanchez, which I think is a good thing. Victor Ariza mentioned that to me. Love that. Veterans with young players, it can be very successful. We're waiting to get Memo Rodriguez of the Houston Dynamo on here. Somehow we're having a bad connection here. MLS All-Star Game, does it mean anything to you? I think from a player's perspective, it's pretty cool. They get to know each other. They get to hang out. Guys that have only played against each other, pretty interesting. We're looking for Memo Rodriguez. Right now, a quick moment for Azure Salon. It's in the heart of the River Oaks and in West Ave Shopping. The styles of the Azure Salon keep me looking sharp for TV work. Azure Salon, it is the place to go. Ladies, they got you covered. Color, cuts, extensions. AzureSalon.com. A-Z-U-R, salon.com. Okay, we're still waiting on Memo Rodriguez. Okay, we'll take a break now. We'll come back with Memo Rodriguez. Then it's on to Craig Weibel of Real Salt Lake. Second hour, we'll again continue to look for your phone calls. And we want you to be a part of the roundtable in the second hour, without a doubt. Be a part of it. It's open, and I'm putting the invitation out to all of you because we want your opinion on this show. But we got to get fired up about this game in Houston. And I mean talking about it. I'm not demanding it, but it's your sport. Do with it what you want. Glenn Davis, host of Soccer Matters, reminding you, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Summer's here. Get out on a patio. Some of you are posting up at the pool. Or listen to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 with me. But most importantly, grab your friends an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light is an official sponsor of Soccer Matters Wednesdays, ESPN 97.5. Thank you, Budweiser. Thank you, Bud Light, for your great support of me on the radio over all these years. We will take a Liberty Kitchen break.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're killing it here tonight. Glenn Davis, host of Soccer Matters, reminding you nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Summer's here. Get out on a patio. Get out to the pool. Come out to a Dynamo game. But most importantly, grab your friends in an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Also, quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Whatever accident you are in, car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. Call John Daspit, 713-322-HURT. All right, perfect time. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets to bring in a guy who's been really breaking onto the scene here. Memo Rodriguez joins us now. Memo, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, hey, Glenn, how's it going?
Good. I'm glad to have you on the program. I've been excited watching you, like many of the Dynamo fans, with your growth, especially in the last four or so games. Just talk about the confidence and how it's sort of accelerated game to game.
You know, whenever a coach gives you confidence and puts you into matches and helps you gain experience on the field, you know, gives the player a lot of confidence whenever the coach gives you confidence to go out there and play.
Not that it's going to matter much, but I really enjoyed calling your first ever Major League Soccer goal against Montreal. You came on in the second half there and hit that screamer from the top of the box. What did that mean to you, and kind of what was running through your head through that celebration, if you can remember at all?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great, great honor just to step on the pitch and help the teammates get the win. And it was a very special moment for me just because it was in front of my family and the hometown fans. And whenever I was celebrating, you know, didn't know really what to do, but, you know, just celebrate with my teammates because they helped me on a daily basis on and off the pitch.
Memo Rodriguez, Houston Dynamo, joining us now. Yeah, it was a Dynamo Academy player, came through the system. Really, you for me are really the first real legitimate Dynamo Academy player to really come through a young age. You made a real commitment getting to training by driving. And I think you are symbolic of a lot of really good things. And everybody I've talked to has glowing, wonderful things to say about you, not only as a footballer, but as a person. And I think the character side of it is what I want to get into, because my gut tells me you got a very supportive set of parents.
Yeah, I mean, without my mom and the support of my family, you know, I wouldn't be in this position, just because she would drive me an hour and 15 to practice and an hour 15 back. So her commitment was huge, and, you know, she put in her part, and I definitely worked hard to put in my part to be successful and to be in the position I am right now.
Now, your familiarity with Wilmer and his willingness to work with young players, we all know that he was the under-17 U.S. national team coach at one point. So he's a guy that's not afraid to use young players. That has to be uplifting to all the young players that are aspiring to get on the field for the Houston Dynamo. You know, if you don't have a coach at the top that's willing to give young players an opportunity, it can be deflating. And I think that has hurt the Dynamo in the past. Now you have a coach that's willing to play younger players like yourself. And there's possibility there now. Possibility is everything.
Yeah, like I said before, you know, whenever a coach gives you confidence, especially a young player that really didn't play much whenever he started or signed his first contract, and the coach gives you confidence going into games, putting you in the games, you know, it's always an honor to play and to show your character and the way you express yourself on the pitch, you know. For him to do that, you know, it's a great honor for me and for the inspiring the young academy kids coming up in the system. So I think it's a great achievement, and we gotta keep working.
Dynamo midfielder Memo Rodriguez joining us here. All right, so where's the bar set for Memo Rodriguez? How high do you want to take this game? Where do you want to go with it? I know it's first things first right now, establishing yourself in Major League Soccer. Yep. But where is the bar set for you?
For now, keep on getting more games as much as possible and try to get better each and every day, and, you know, possibly keep on playing here for a while, but ultimately the goal is, you know, play overseas and play in the team overseas. But, you know, first is first, like you said, establish a position on this team and try to help them as much as possible to achieve good things in the future.
Memo Rodriguez joining us here of the Houston Dynamo has been a great story this year. When you got into these early games, Montreal, I think the way Wilmer brought you in was wonderful, because he brought you into a less pressure situation against Montreal. Ultimately, you get a start against Minnesota in a very important game. You come off the bench in a very important game. You are on a free kick. Let's first talk about the confidence Wilmer showed in you and the way he has brought you along.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's interrogated me into games at perfect times. He's not just throwing me into situations that I can't handle or a young kid can't handle. So I think that's also a big part of his coaching style. You know, he brings you out at perfect times that he knows that you're going to be able to perform. And, you know, it's great for me because it puts me in a position where I can show myself and express myself and show my qualities on the pitch.
Now, let me commend you. You've done it in a starting role. You did it in a role off the bench against the Portland Timbers. And some might say, hey, why is Memo Rodriguez taking a set piece? But your teammates must have tremendous confidence in you, because you whipped into a tremendous ball to Juan David Cabezas. Just talk about how you were the guy standing on that free kick and how that came about.
Yeah, like I said, the guys on the pitch and my teammates give me the confidence, and, you know, shows a lot from them that they see great potential in me. And there's a couple of times that Alex was going to take the set pieces, but he was like, here, take it, you know, you're fresh, you can give a better, you're not tired, you can give a better quality ball right now in this situation. So he, you know, I took the ball and try to get a teammate on the ball as best as possible.
Memo, listen, best of luck to you, and I thank you very much for coming on. I'd like to get you in studio sometime and really dig into the whole you side of things, because we all have influences, and some of those are the best stories of how you became passionate about the game and where it's taken you. You know, there's ups and downs for everybody, and that never stops in life. But, boy, we have really been excited in seeing you carve out a niche on this team, be a big part of the Dynamo and the roster, and I want to wish you continued success. But we'll get you up in studio here one time down the road. How about that?
Yeah, sounds perfect, Glenn. Thank you for having me tonight.
Memo, keep up the great work. We're enjoying watching you play, and thank you again for coming on the program.
Thanks, Glenn. Have a good night.
All right, that's one to keep an eye on in the future. Memo Rodriguez, what a hit against Montreal. What a set piece against Portland. It is so wonderful to, number one, talk to such a humble young man. But on the other side of it is, it's also exciting to see the fruition of him growing into things. And I think it was a masterstroke the way Wilmer Cabrera has brought him into a game that was non-pressure, Montreal, you know, second half, the game was over. It's the perfect opportunity for him to come in, succeed, gain confidence. Gets a start against Minnesota United, is effective in D.C., and, you know, comes off the bench and plays what ends up being an incredibly significant ball. For the Juan David Cabezas header, which earns you a point and keeps you undefeated at home. Now, things are going to get a little bit interesting here because there is a logjam in the Western Conference. We're going to talk about it tonight. Second hour, it'll be Eddie Robinson and Jan Christensen. Dynamo on the road at RSL. We're working on Craig Weibel, the Dynamo general manager, and we've got him now. So let's go to Salt Lake City. Craig Weibel joins us now, the general manager, more importantly, former member of the Houston Dynamo. Craig, thank you for coming on the show.
Always enjoy it, Glenn. How are you doing?
Good. So can I make the announcement that you're coming back to Houston to be about part of the Dynamo organization and probably maybe a player coach still at this stage? You know I'm kidding around.
I think the player side might be out. You know, after a couple more bike accidents and a snapped Achilles up here, I am officially retired.
Yeah, but we would just cross you. We put you across the white lines because you're kind of like you're like Chuck Norris. You know, Weibel looks at somebody and the guy falls down. You know,
I hope that would still work. Well, I think I used to have a fairly intimidating presence on the field, but you know, now I think those young boys might look at me and wonder what the heck I was doing out there.
Nah, it's great to catch up with you, but I do really want to get serious about the general manager's role in Major League Soccer. And you know, first off, for you know, you're a friend of mine, like Eddie Robinson and all the guys that I've gotten to know so well from those great championship teams. And I also knew that you were an ambitious guy. I remember you working as a volunteer coach at Rice and doing all kinds of cancer events. So I knew you were ambitious. So tell me about the general manager's role, what you've learned, how it works for you, and what have been some of the biggest challenges here, because you've had to fire a coach. You guys are moving in the right direction now, but you have had your challenges here reestablishing RSL.
Yeah. You know, I think I assumed the position at a very interesting time. Bill Manning and Garth Lagerwey, the president, the general manager, and then Jason Christ, the head coach, they had built something very similar to what was built when I played in Houston. And it was at a point where it was turning a corner. There were guys going their separate ways. There were guys aging out and retiring. So reestablishing what this team was going to be in terms of a 6-month, 12-month, 18-month plan was very difficult, you know, because there are still a lot of questions unanswered in terms of how long guys can play and who do you bring in to back them up and what style of play. And, you know, I came here initially as an assistant coach with Jeff Kassar, and we played the Diamond for one more year. That off season, we looked at our personnel, looked at our roster, and decided to go to more of a 4-2-3-1 for a number of reasons, and had to rebuild the roster from having a ton of central midfielders to trying to find wingers. And that process takes a little while. In MLS, it takes a little bit longer because our calendar is January to January. So we're doing our heavy shopping in the winter when everyone else is under contract. So it's been an interesting process along the way. The MLS and the CBA and the union and the salary cap's changed already two times since I took over. And, you know, I think there's rumors Commissioner Garber might be speaking tonight on behalf of the league to address even another change to the salary cap. So all of those things come into play, and it's a continual challenge. And then take into account, you know, some of these clubs in our league have millions and millions of dollars to spend on players, and that drastically changes the way you plan and build a roster.
I want to just lead you into something, because I just called the Toronto FC New York game, the number one and two spending teams in the league. They got a player named Sebastian Giovinco, who makes alone more than 10 teams in Major League Soccer, including Houston. I don't know if RSL's in there or not. How difficult is it going to be for the RSLs and the Houston Dynamo of the world to compete in this league now, where the bar is being set by the Atlantas, by the Torontos, by the New York City FCs, by the incoming LAFC? And, you know, these guys aren't holding back. These guys are coming in with big resources, and those resources are reaping benefits in the name of Sebastian Giovinco and David Villa and company.
Yeah, there's no question, no matter where you are in life, money can buy you pretty nice things. And you know, Giovinco and David Villa are only a couple pieces of those rosters when you look at the money they're spending. You know, I think where we're heading, Glenn, is I think we're heading to a really fun structure. I don't think that parity is kind of going to remain the theme. You know, as you have teams that spend much more than others, I think parity in terms of the rules, the way MLS sets up quite a bit of the spending is going to keep it within reach. But I think clubs like Houston, clubs like RSL, the clubs in the middle and on the lower end of the spending, we have to have very clear vision of what we are. We have to have very clear identities of what we are, not only as a group, as a team, as a front office, as a fan base. And we all have to be on board with it, you know, because there are going to be days where you run into a freight train, you know, otherwise known as a dump truck full of money in other cities, that special players are special. And every once in a while, you might perform up to the standard you've set, but special players change games and they might not be on your side. So clear vision is one thing, and then
Craig, before you go on to the second one, tell me what RSL's clear vision is. You know, how can you do that? How can you do that in a paragraph?
Well, you know, quite simply, you know, curriculum. You have to believe in the style of play you set out and build a roster accordingly. Mm-hmm. And if you know, we've talked about it a lot this year. If your fans come to three games, four games, and can't tell who you are, you're in big trouble. You know, our fans need to be able to show up and identify who we are, and that takes a while. That takes a while. But, you know, for RSL right now, that's dangerous wingers, you know, solid down the middle, and creativity in the front half of the field. And that's really what we've been building the last year and a half.
Now, you've been doing it young. You got 13 guys that are 25 or younger. You got a lot of homegrown. I called for Fox the under-20 World Cup, and I mean, you know, I'm looking at the roster, and it says Real Salt Lake, Real Salt Lake, Real Salt Lake. So you had four or five guys on that under-20 Top Ramos team. So you guys are doing some things right, and developing your own has got to be a big piece to your future, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we put a lot of energy and a lot of resources into it. You know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, the first contract I did when I got the job as general manager was Martin Vasquez, who runs our academy, mm-hmm. who is ex-national team coach, ex-MLS coach, ex-Liga MX coach, ex-Bayern assistant coach. And the first thing I did when I walked in the door was I called Martin and I said, is there any way I can get you to sign a long-term contract? And, you know, we were able to make that happen. And he's done a phenomenal job down at our academy, not only with the kids, but with his staff. He's produced very, very good youth development coaches, right now Freddie Juarez sits on our first team staff as an assistant. So it's been invaluable to set up.
Was it hard going to your ownership to get resources for youth development and player development? Because if you're going to be one of the teams that are a little bit more frugal when it comes to spending, you know, that has to be a necessary component. And by the way, Toronto FC is also developing good young players now too to go along with their big spending ways. So they're going after it on all fronts.
Yeah, and their leadership's phenomenal. I mean, you know, Bill Manning, who was the president here, is now in Toronto, so it doesn't surprise me at all that they've gone that way, as well as they have a really, really talented general manager, Tim Bezbachenko, up there as well. Very, very creative and wide thinking. So, you know, it is a little intimidating when I'm sitting in Salt Lake and I start seeing Toronto investing in their youth just as much as we are, because, you know, that's one thing we need to help separate us, and one thing that'll definitely only benefit U.S. soccer along the long-term plans of our country and the league itself.
All right, Craig, let's turn attention, because you're an analytic. I know you are when it comes to the game. You know it inside and out. Talk a little bit about how Real Salt Lake is, and we got about 2 minutes here, how they are different than the team that we saw the Dynamo give a beatdown back a couple months ago. Six, seven weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing is we were out 12 of our 12 guys that would have suited up in the 18 or started were gone for that game, injured, national team call-ups, sits, and the such.
Correct.
We're a healthier team. We're, you know, one piece stronger with Marcelo Silva coming in, Justin Glad's back. A lot of players are back. So, you know, I would venture to guess that our starting lineup would be seven or eight, nine players different. And I think that's the main thing in MLS. Hard to build deep rosters in our league with the budgets we're on, but certainly, you know, you'll see a different team and a different lineup this weekend.
Well, and all your young guys were gone as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think at the time we were missing four or five guys for youth national teams, as well as injuries with the first team.
Quickly, a little bit on two players. I think you got about 45 seconds. Rusnak and Savarino.
Fantastic. Our league needs more of them. We spent a lot of energy bringing those two young boys in, and we spent a lot of time scouting them, a lot of time working with their agents and working with them to get them here and feel comfortable quickly so they can come out and perform the way they are.
Craig, you're one of the best. Thank you so much for coming on. I want to bring you on again sometime where we can really dig into the general manager side of Major League Soccer, because I think it's great for fans to hear someone like yourself
Anytime. Talking
about this.
I love sharing it.
Yeah, because we learn things every single time we talk to you, and we also learn what the challenges are as well. As
Absolutely.
Always, you are the man. Bald is beautiful. It never would have happened without Craig Weibel. What you've done for cancer down here from a pediatric standpoint is huge. So thank you again for all your great years here in Houston.
I appreciate it, Glenn.
All right, that's Craig Weibel. What a great guy that guy is. And, well, we're not going to be nice to him, though, up in Rio Tinto. We want to get the win on the road, because the Dynamo have six more road games, including RSL this weekend, which you can catch on the Cube. And five out of those six are against Western Conference opponents. Things can shift quickly here, positively or in that other direction. So we got to keep an eye on this now. And the Dynamo do have challenges. We'll talk about it in the second hour coming up of Danish Inspiration. John Christensen, DanishInspirations.com. There's no better contemporary furniture. Eddie Robinson will come in studio and join us. We are on Facebook. You can hit me up on Twitter if you got any questions. We're doing the whole social media thing here tonight for you. So now contribute in the second hour at 713-780-3776. As we go to the second hour again, Azure Salon in the heart of River Oaks, West Ave Shopping. Get over there. They keep me looking sharp. Azure Salon is the place to go. Ladies, they have you covered with colors, cuts, and extensions. AzureSalon.com, AzureSalon.com. Also, Liberty Kitchen. You know I'm passionate about food. Get out to all the Liberty Kitchen locations. We'll talk more about that tonight, including their new one over in Garden Oaks, which is a great beer garden over there. River Oaks Garden, Garden Oaks. I'm sorry, Garden Oaks Liberty Kitchen is the beer garden. We'll take a break.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Bauer, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.